Beitza, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey 1:5. Now this mission truth has what you effectively could call four different Mishnayas. There are four separate unrelated cases here. All of them revolve on halachas of Yom Tov. All of them involve a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. All of them halachas like Beis Hillel. All of them, Beis Hillel is the lenient opinion, as usual. But they're really four standalone cases. I also just want to add before I speak that out that in the Gemara itself, it's broken up and actually even ordered differently than in our Mishnah here. So the order doesn't follow the Gemara. I mean, in the Bar Tanur's order is like the Gemara, not like we have in front of us. But all that said, I'm going to learn the Mishnah based on the text everyone has in front of them. Four separate cases in this order, and that's that. Okay, so the first case is, we'll refer to the case about the treason. A trice is a door that closes off like a movable cupboard in which salespeople, merchants, keep their spices and so on, their wares. So the question of our Mishnah will revolve around the permissibility of opening and removing and then closing and reinserting and reattaching the doors of such cupboards. Okay? Now the potential problem here is the malacha of stira and binyan, of demolition and reconstruction or construction, which are two of the 39 malachas. Beis Hillel will say that it's permitted for whatever reasons, specific reasons in this case, and Beis Shammai will say no. Beis Shammai hold that midah orais, there is an applicability of binyan and stira, construction and demolition, that's applicable to kalim, utensils, and to remove certain types of doors or to reattach them would be to a large structure like a cupboard, a large kli, a large utensil, even though it's not attached to the ground, so it's a kli and not mechubar lekarka, it's not a structure, so it's not building proper, but the principles of building and demolition apply even on a deraisa level to utensils that stay in place. And that being the case, Beis Shammai is remachmir and say you can't do it in certain circumstances, you can't do certain things. Whereas Beis Hillel will say, yes, you can, although he will agree in certain circumstances that you shouldn't do things that look like construction or destruction. He holds that there's, bottom line, no such thing as binyan and stira that applies to kalim, utensils like this, and therefore he'll be lenient in certain circumstances because of the mitigating factor of Simchas Yom Tov. He wants people to have an enjoyable Yom Tov, and therefore he wants them to have access to spices to flavor the food nicely on Yom Tov, and therefore Beis Hillel will find a leniency. Now, the Mishnah itself is very short. I'll read you the words, and then I'll unpack it. The Mishnah simply says in this first case, Beis Shammai omrim ein mesalkin es hatrisin b'yom tov, or Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel says you may not remove the removable doors from those cupboards from the merchants on Yom Tov, and Beis Hillel says yes you can, and af l'hachzir, you can even put them back again. Remove them and put them back, says Beis Hillel. That's the whole Mishnah on this point. So to understand this Mishnah here, not only do you have to understand the basic case here. So the case, again, is this cupboard in which merchants keep their wares for safekeeping, and there's a door, which is a removable door. It can sit on like hinges, say, and you take the hinges out to get the door off, and then the door functions as like a surface, a flat surface, on which the merchant will put his wares to show off to the marketplace, and when he's done, he'll move the wares back off of the, like that, makeshift shelf that the trice was serving, that the door was serving, puts it back inside the cupboard, and then reinserts the cupboard's door back in its place to lock up the cupboard so the stuff doesn't get stolen. So that trice, the word trice, by the way, in the Mishnah also means like a shield, because it shields the entrance of the door, if you will. In Israel, we all have trisim. Trisim are like these shutters that close to seal off our doors, like seal off the windows. The trisim close the windows, like window shutters. You have to know what I mean to have seen it. So it's a similar word in modern Hebrew to that. In English, in America, they don't have trisim, so it doesn't really work like that. In any case, so that's what the trice here is the door that locks up and protects the contents of the cupboard that the merchant uses when he like brings his cupboard to market to sell his wares. So now, these trisim can come in three varieties. They can be simply, they can have no hinges at all. It just sort of like a plug that just plugs in and like covers up the cupboard and uncovers it. You pull it on and off. So according to everybody, even Beis Shammai, there's no issue of binyan and stira, construction or demolition, if it's just a plug, it doesn't attach or fix itself to the cupboard. Just like putting a, you know, just putting a flat board in front of a cupboard. That's not considered construction. So even base shama would be lenient and say to remove and to reinsert that kind of plug door that has no hinges, not a problem. On the flip side, you have a certain kind of cupboard door, if you will, that has two hinges. The way that the Gemara describes it, and the Mefarshim here, it's minhat studim, it has two tzirim, two hinges, minhat studim on the sides. That means you kind of have a top and bottom hinge. I think the most familiar in my mind setup like this is, you know, if you have like a, if sometimes your watch face, like your Casio watch face, gets detached from the watch strap, and there's that kind of like the pin that goes, you can sort of, you have to insert it to, you know, both on either side of the watch face, like a hole, little sockets, and you insert the pins onto both sides of the sockets, and so the band gets reattached to the watch face and sort of fixed there. It's kind of like that. So you have these two hinges on the top and the bottom on one given side of this door, and it kind of can lock into place on the cupboard. So in that scenario, to put that back in place, according to the way that the Bartonur learns, like Rashi, that's going to be forbidden. Because that, although it's not really binyan, not really construction, it sure looks like it, it feels like it, and therefore it really will be forbidden midir rabbanan. Where Beis Hillel is makel and allows you to freely take off and put on this tris, is where it has a single hinge, like in the middle of that door of the tris, on like in the middle on the side, there's one hinge that sticks into one hole, so it holds it in place, but like loosely and not really fixed, it's not so permanent of an insertion. So there, Beis Shammai say, that's too close for comfort, and it's forbidden midir rabbanan, and because of the, it's not permanent, so it won't be a deraisa, but it's a derabbanan binyan and stira, therefore Beis Shammai say, no, you can't remove or reinsert the trees even with one hinge, whereas Beis Hillel say, yes, you can. And although they agree in general, it would be disallowed, but because of Simchas Yom Tov, we're being lenient, says Beis Hillel. Okay, so that's the case of our Mishnah. Halacha l'maisa, it's a little not quite like I described. First of all, the halacha l'maisa would be that if you have the two hinges, so you could remove it, you just couldn't reinsert it, because the removal allows access, but the reinsertion would then stop access. And if the rationale for being lenient of Beis Hillel is to enable people to have Simchas Yom Tov and access to, say, the spices inside the merchant's cupboard, so you would ask the question, well, I understand why he allows it to be removed to provide access, but why is it permitted to reinsert it? That isn't necessary for Simchas Yom Tov, it's just protecting the merchant's wares from, you know, out of sight, so it should be, you know, not stolen, preventing temptation, but of thieves. But Beis Hillel holds that if we didn't let them reseal up their cupboard with the trees, then they wouldn't agree to open it in the first place because they don't want their stuff to get stolen. So he's lenient. So halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch is going to go that you, if it has one pin, one hinge, you can take it off and put it on. If it has two, you could take it off, but you can't put it on. And I said that, moreover, Beis Hillel will hold that if it's in a private home, let's say the home of the merchant, he could remove it, but he wouldn't be able to put it on because putting it on isn't necessary to protect the stuff from getting stolen. So it wouldn't inhibit him from opening it in the first place. Now, the reason why that ambiguity about the one hinge versus two hinge, putting it back on, la halacha l'maisa, is because the Rambam learns a little different than Rashi the issue here. And it's not just a question of binyan and soser. The Rambam's concern, which is actually echoed in the Shulchan Aruch, is that a little different. That you, when you reinsert the hinges into the sockets, you're liable to kind of like take like a mallet and like bang it into place firmly, so it's like fixed again. And that fixing utensil, so it's like permanently fixed, is totally forbidden. And we're concerned you'll come to do that to fix and snugly insert those pins. And that's why it's going to be forbidden to stick two in as opposed to one, which would mean also, Lach Lamais, the Shulchan Aruch says, if there are two hinges, but the hinges fit in very loosely, and there's no such thing as like fitting it snugly in so it's like tight, it always would come out again. No such thing as like taking a mallet to bang it exactly and snugly in because it's just too loose of a fit. It can come in and out again. So then even Beis Hillel would say, even with two a double-hinged tris, you could put it back in on Yom Tov because it's not really affixed in any permanent way, and no concern that you'll take a hammer to knock it into place permanently because no such thing is not applicable here. Okay, that's the first case of the Mishnah, as we have it in front of us. Now, the second case is a whole new thing. It's talking about an Eli. An Eli, there's a couple pshatim in the Mefarshim. Either it means essentially a mortar or a pestle. The pestle means like a mortar and pestle is what you use to grind, like the mortar is the bowl, and the pestle is like the stick, which you grind in the bowl and you put like, say, grains inside, you grind things up using the grinding by turning the pestle against the mortar and sort of crushing up the grains inside. So the Eli is like a large wooden thing. Maybe it's a mortar, maybe it's a pestle. The point is I'm going to say this not like the Bartonura, although we always follow the Bartonura. I'm leaving the Bartonura to last. Bartonura's shot is rather strange. We'll learn like the other Rishonim. It's either a mortar or a pestle, and it's muktzah under normal circumstances, for whatever reasons. Let's say the simple pshat here, also halacha lemaisa, is it's a kli shemelachta le'iser. This mortar and or pestle device called the Eli is used for grinding up grain. You can't do that normally. You can't do that on Yom Tov. And since grinding, tchina tochen is forbidden on Yom Tov and certainly Shabbos, it's a klish malach l'isser, and it's forbidden to use. But the Mishnah's point here is that Beis Hillel say that, yes, it's a klish malach l'isser, but you're allowed to use a klish malach l'isser, utensil whose primary use is for something forbidden on Yom Tov, if you're using it for a permitted purpose. And we're familiar with that l'halacha. And that's how Rosh learns. Others learn that it's actually the category of muktza of this Eli is muktza machmas chesron kis, that it's a sort of a fancy, expensive type of utensil that one wouldn't use for purposes other than its designated purpose. That being the case, it's muktza, and something that's muktza machmas chesron kis is you cannot use it and move it around even for guf or makomo, even if you want to use it for some permitted purpose or you want the place where it's resting, normally you can't move it. And according to those Rishonim, the point of Beis Hillel here is, while that's normally true, and Beis Hillel agrees to that, because of Simchas Yom Tov, we're being lenient and we're even allowing you to move a kli that's muktzah machmas chesron kis for the sake of permitted purpose, for the sake of having Simchas Yom Tov. Halacha lemaisa, I mean, to the Mishnah side, so I'm getting ahead of myself, but halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch means both shittas, the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm not to rely on the lenient one, meaning not to move muktzah, that's muktzah machmas chesron kis, but even for permitted uses, even for simchas yom tov, but certainly, yes, you can move a kli shemelach le'iser for a need, if you need it itself, gufo, or you need the place it's sitting on, makomo, as we say in our Mishnah here. So let me now go back a second, read this Mishnah inside. It's again very, very short. But here's the word say here. Bishame omrim ein notlin es ha'eli lekatsev alav basar. Bishame say you can't take this eli to use it to cut meat on it. So either, again, it's the pestle, it's like a big wooden stick, which is a little strange to cut meat on that, or it's like a bowl or dish, concave dish, that's used for grinding on, and then it's a place to put your meat to cut onto. Beis Shammai say you can't move it because it's muktza, and Beis Hillel say matirin. Beis Hillel say yes, it's permitted to move the eli, whether it's the stick like the pestle or the dish like the mortar, because for simchas yom tov, and again machlokus for shown, and we're talking about a klish malach le'iser, which would be for any reason you could use it, even not just simchas yom tov lemaisa, or if it's Machmas Chesron Kis, and it's a special extra dispensation for Simchas Yom Tov that you can move this Muktza item, even though it's, normally forbidden to move for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov. Okay, fine. That's the Mishnah, really, and that's the Halacha L'maisa, like the Mishnah Berurah. You could move a Kli that's Muktza Machmas, that's Muktza because it's a Kli Shemelach Tol Isser, normally used for forbidden things for permitted purpose on Yom Tov. That's the way to go, halacha lemaisa. Before I move on, I got to say the Bartonura's pshat. The Bartonura learns, although it's a little peculiar, that this Eli is like a big stick, and because it's so big and heavy, it's just a stick. It's not even a kli at all. It doesn't have the status of a kli, so it's muktza, like machmas gufo. It's intrinsically muktza, as a stick is. reminds me of the old joke. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back to you? A stick. It's just a stick. So this too is just a big stick. And sticks are muktzah. And therefore it's muktzah machmas gufa and trizli muktzah. And nevertheless, while Beis Shammai say, therefore you can't move it, Beis Hillel say, even something which is muktzah machmas gufa and trizli muktzah, you could move it for Simchas Yom Tov. That's the Barthener's approach. But like I said, it's not consistent with the Gemara, and it's not consistent with the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. It's just a bit of a strange pshat altogether. Okay, fine. Now, the Mishnah continues on with the third of the four cases. Now we're talking about the malacha of ma'abed of tanning hides, also something that's totally forbidden on Yom Tov, like on Shabbos. The problem is that when it comes to slaughtering animals, like you have a cow, so it's permitted to shech the cow and slaughter it and make, you know, steak for Yom Tov. That's fine, but a great deal of the value of the cow is in the leather of the hide. And if you flay the cow and don't begin the preparations for the hide, it will start to dry out, it will be lumpy, and you will, like, the hide will dry in a lumpy fashion, and you will essentially lose the value of the hide because it will stop being usable as, like, a flat, you know, as a whatever, a leather hide. And therefore people, Beis Hillel, are concerned if people are going to have to sacrifice the economic benefit of the hide because it's going to go to waste. So then they will just not eat the animal in the first place on Yom Tov, foregoing their Simchas Yom Tov, which Beis Hillel doesn't want to happen. And therefore, the question is it permissible to not just shech, but flay the cow and then put the hides in such a way that they will be essentially trampled upon by, you know, in traffic, put them on a sidewalk, let's say, and be trampled upon so that the trampling smooths them out to some degree and allows a person not to forfeit the value of the hide itself. The Mishnah side says, Beis Shammai omrim einos nesa or lifnei dorsin. Beis Shammai says, no, you can't take a hide on Yom Tov and put it, you know, on the floor in front of traffic, you know, on the sidewalk where traffic will walk by and step on it. Although no one's intending to actually, you know, do the first step of the tanning of the hides, it sure looks that way, it sure feels that way, you know, it's the beginning of the tanning process, and therefore Beis Shammai said, no, it's forbidden to do that. And not only that, but velo yagbiot, lo yagbihenu, you can't even lift it up. You can't even move a hide, because it's muktzah, a fresh hide, it's muktzah. Eleim ken yesh imo kazayas basar, unless it has a olive's amount of meat still attached to the hide. If it does, since the meat is the ikker, the primary thing, then the hide just becomes not yet muktzah because it's attached to the meat. The same way, you know, chicken on the bone, of course, chicken bones are muktzah, but while there's chicken on the bone, the chicken bone's not muktzah yet. Same idea. So Beis Shammai said the whole thing is muktzah, and you certainly can't put it in a place where traffic walks because it looks like they're making everyone do the beginning of the tanning process of preparing the hides, which is a malacha d'oraisa of ma'abed. But Beis Hillel is lenient. Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel says, yes, you can. Meaning, yes, you can, number one, move an animal hide on Yom Tov, even though there's no meat attached to it. It's not muktzah. And you can also put it on the ground where there's traffic flowing so that people will step on it, and that will ultimately preserve the value of the hide so it shouldn't be lost to you. Now, Beis Hillel agree that under normal circumstances that shouldn't be allowed because it sure looks and feels a lot like tanning, which is, you know, not allowed as one of the lamentous malachas, but Beis Hillel says, listen, if we don't let people do that, then people just won't shech the animals, won't eat the animals, will forgo Simchas Yom Tov, therefore we're going to be lenient. Now, an important point here is that this only applies to animals that were shechted on Yom Tov itself. Certainly Beis Hillel would agree. If you slaughter the cow before Yom Tov, you can't now take that hide and move it on Yom Tov because it's muktzah, and you certainly can't put it in front of traffic to start getting stepped on because that's like the beginning of the tanning process, which is certainly forbidden. So it's only a leniency that applies to animals that are shechted on Yom Tov itself, and the halacha will be like Beis Hillel again, leniently. Okay, the last of the four cases here in the Mishnah. And this has to do with carrying objects in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. So we already established back in the introduction that the Torah allows malachas that are done for the sake of ochel nefesh, for the sake of food preparation. That's the pasuk. It says, "Ach asher ye'achel l'chol nefesh hu levado ya'aseh lechem." Whatever is used for food for people, that those malachas can be done on Yom Tov as opposed to Shabbos. And that's true for carrying and lighting a fire for sure. You can carry things around and light a fire for the sake of food preparation. The question is, what about carrying around things or lighting, in this case, carrying around things for reasons other than food preparation? Is that allowed? So Beis Shammai is going to say, no, it's not. And Beis Hillel say it will be allowed based on a principle which we refer to as metoch, as I said in the introduction. Also, metoch kind of means like a since, and the basic principle is metoch shehutra letzorech, since it was permitted, this particular category of malacha, like caring, was permitted for a need, like an ochel nefesh, food need. Also, hutra nami shelo letzorech, it also becomes permitted even for a non-ochel nefesh need. And Beis Hillel will say, and the Mishnah will bear that out, that if the need you're talking about here is a mitzvah need or a yom tov need, per se, so then we're going to be lenient and say that you're allowed to carry, for example, since you're allowed to carry for food prep, you're allowed to carry even for non-food prep for other mitzvah-type activities and other yom tov needs to bring you, you know, immediate enjoyment on yom tov, that is permitted. Things that have nothing to do with yom tov, however, would be forbidden. And then Mishnah says that inside, it says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Motzien, you can't carry in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or take out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Lo esa katan, neither a child, velo esa lulav, nor a lulav for shaking on sukkahs, velo esa sefer Torah, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And nor could you take out a sefer Torah, a Torah scroll, into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Yom Tov, because that's not food needs. Those are other mitzvah needs, but that's not good enough. He rejects the matoch principle, and you can't do it, says Beis Shammai. However, u Beis Hillel matirin, Beis Hillel say yes, because of matoch, that principle, since it was permitted for ochel nefesh purposes, the malacha of hotzav, carrying and taking out the shetzer rabbim, so too can you do it for other non-food purposes, again, provided that they're for a mitzvah, like illustrated in the Mishnah, or other immediate yom tov needs, like say, for example, not you could be taking the child to get a bris milah, that would be a mitzvah. But let's say you're taking the child just because you want to have your child with you on yom tov, because that's a person's pleasure to have his child with him on yom tov, of course, so then that would be permitted as well, because you want your child with you on yom tov, and therefore you can carry your child halacha lemaisa on Yom Tov, because having them is part of your joy of Yom Tov itself.